I'll be honest, the first time that I came through the second deck and looked out on the court, it gave me a chill because in a lot of ways I felt like Toto and that Dorothy was telling me we're not in Kansas anymore because I didn't think that I was at 54th and City Line when I was on the second deck of really an arena. To know the people that have supported this project and allowed this team to play in such a setting is really special. And it's important that the players understand that this is a little different this year. They're representing much more than just the St. Joseph's name. They're representing a lot of people who care a great deal about this university.
Have you felt that excitement on campus with your players and things like that in the maybe past couple of weeks?
The players, I think, have gotten to the point where they've taken it all in. They've kind of embraced their setting, and it does make you laugh inside. I never laugh outside for them, but I laugh inside when they'll say, well, are we in the practice facility, or are we in Hagen Arena, and coaches the meeting in the team theater, or is it in the lounge, or is it in the locker room? And you kind of laugh because it used to be, where could we fit 12 chairs? And it's not like that anymore. On campus, it's been interesting, the student reaction. I've just been led to believe that the student, almost every ticket is now accounted for Friday night. Hopefully, we'll put a product on the floor that will bring them back on Tuesday and so on and so on. Because I do think that when you look at that end, and you come out of that visiting locker room and see that number of students who are fully involved in the game, it can be a very intimidating building. It's still dependent upon the product that's on the floor. So certainly the students, I think, are excited. There's a little bit of a castle mentality, like they wonder what the Ramsey Center is really like. And Coach, I heard your office is the biggest office on campus, and I find that interesting because no one ever said to me, Coach, I heard your office is the smallest office on campus either. So when it was, the students are certainly excited, and it's going to be great to bring basketball back to Hawk Hill.
What's your hopes, expectations for this year with this team?
I'm hoping that we can. As with all my teams, I hope that we can improve. We need to improve. But certainly I hope that we can improve. And I hope that at the end of the day, that the memories that are created are as great as the surroundings that they're going to be created in. This is an extraordinary opportunity for this group of players. They're an easy group to coach, very easy group to coach. We practice longer. Now, there's more things that we need to practice, but we do practice longer with this group. But there's never any rolling of the eyes or the phantom injuries or illnesses. They all come to work every day and try to prepare. And hopefully we can improve on a daily basis in small increments. And then at the end of the year, we'll see where we are.
Is the challenge any greater this year than it has been in past years?
To be honest with you, I think it is more challenging. Because call it the way it is. We haven't had any of you guys around all year. You know, we really are in this city this year an afterthought, and I'm okay with that. The programs, you have a team coming off the Final Four that has established themselves as one of the premier programs. You have a two-time Atlantic 10 champion. You have a team that plays in the best building in college basketball. You have a LaSalle team that has really allowed their players to grow up. I just think that, Brew's team, I think the last time I checked, I might be incorrect on this, but I think they've beaten us two of the last three times. I might need to like a check on that there, almanac, to see if that's true. So there's a lot of great things going on in Philadelphia. But certainly, you know, I'm very aware of the fact that there hasn't been a word written about St. Joseph's. And so there is more of a challenge. There is more of a responsibility to take our proper place in this city and in this league. You know, the preseason predictions are what they should be. We were picked 10th, and Probably if I went back and checked my ballot, I picked us 10th or 11th. That's all right, though. It is what it is, and it is what it should be for right now.
This group of freshmen this year going to be counted on, I think, probably, you know, more than a freshman class in the last few years. Last year, I remember you describing Bryant and Chris as having to get the piano off their backs. How does this group of freshmen compare to last year's class in terms of readiness?
Well, it's a little bit the view of the freshmen right now is a little bit tilted because only Carl Jones has been able to practice. Justin Crossgile has yet to go through a practice with us. His injury is coming along. He's probably slightly ahead of schedule, but he's probably not going to be live for us until after the Virgin Island tournament, the Paradise Jam. So that's there's a lot of expectation. There's a lot of hope for Justin Crossgile. You just don't score 2,000 points and not be a factor. Carl Baptiste has been, I think, better than advertised. But then he went through, he missed probably 5 days of practice with inflammation in his shin. So he's come back, and everybody in this group is needed. And so you are right that the freshmen are, we just don't want to get them minutes. We need to get them minutes this year, and we need that there be some positive results. But in some ways, I'm trying to make sure that I'm not the piano on their back. And I fully recognize that with Bryant Irwin and Chris Prescott, I was the piano on their back because we needed so much from them at a very young age when they weren't really sure of all the rules of college basketball at that point. So with this group, a little bit more patience, and but at the same time, staying demanding, because the freshmen, the way I've described it to them, can't be freshmen. If they come in and they're freshmen on Friday night, then some Drexel kid's going to take their lunch money and go home with it.
What are your expectations for Garrett Williamson this year?
Well, Garrett was voted captain by his teammates, and I think that speaks volumes. But I want Garrett to be a basketball player this year. And I've always – he has unbelievable work ethic. He has a defensive ability comparable to anybody that I've ever had. He has leadership. He is truly the consummate team player. But he hasn't taken enough shots in college basketball. So he spent the whole summer not playing basketball, but shooting the ball. And it's going to be important that he gets shots in the air and has a chance to be a complete player and not just a complimentary player. So I'm anxious for Garrett to have that opportunity, and his response has been very good during this preseason.
So would there be any comparison to Tyrone going to his senior year? He was strictly a defensive guy. He spent all summer shooting the ball. He really shot well his senior year.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Dick. I had never thought about Tyrone. I think more of like a Dimitri Domani.
Okay.
The advantage that Dimitri and Tyrone had is that they could be somewhere down there. They didn't have to be, you know, they weren't getting top billing.
Right.
They weren't getting the next line of billing. They were going to be in that kind of mix. I think Garrett, for a long time, has been a complimentary player and probably has seen himself as a complimentary player. And now it's time to – he's got to move up on the billing chart and be listed somewhere towards the top of the list.
Somebody's got to put the ball in the basket.
He would be one of the guys that we're expecting to put the ball in the basket.
Another one of those guys, Darren Govins. When you think about him for this season, what's your first thought in terms of what he has to do for this team to be successful?
Well, my first thought about Darren Govins is he has a great smile. He really does. He has a great smile. He's worked his tail off in the classroom. And unless he trips on himself in public, you know, he's going to be a college graduate. And I think that's absolutely tremendous. Darren is one of the guys on this team. He's had 20-point college games. What we're looking for is a consistency. I know what Darren would like to be. He'd like to be considered one of the better perimeter players in this league, and that's a daunting task. to come from really not being in that conversation to being in that conversation. What I want for him is to have a chance to maximize his wants with our needs. And I think that he's capable of doing that. And he had a great preseason. He had a great start to practice, and then lost his way a little bit, and now seems to be bouncing back.
I know you always emphasize defense, but is it even more important this year? Because I don't know where the points.
No, I'll be honest with you, Ray. My emphasis really in practice, and it'll be interesting to see what the players tell you. But my emphasis in practice has been offense. We're going to try to play quicker than we've ever played. We're going to try to shoot the ball quicker. We've done a mathematical study of our team, and we realized that we're going to shoot a pretty low percentage. We're not going to be a great percentage team. If you took out Ahmad's astounding shooting percentage for the last 2 years, we really are a 40% shooting team. We're not going to change that. We could practice as many shots. We can come up with as many sets as we want. So the goal here is to take more shots than we normally would take. So at the defensive end of the floor, what I've asked them to do is to give me maximum effort, which I've always asked all these teams to do. And then on offense, I've asked them to embrace the freedom. Not going to be a lot of plays, a lot of calls. It's going to be more playing basketball at a pace that is unusual for Garrett and for Darren, particularly, and Idris, as the three oldest guys and three returning starters. So our practice sessions have been flipped. We practice offense for the first hour and 10 minutes or hour and 15 minutes, and then we practice defense. But we've put a lot more time into offense than we have defense this preseason.
Is that the direction of the sport, you think?
I don't know that, Jack. I think that a lot of that is myth. I think that tell me any press conference that you've ever covered in the collegiate level, and that, what do they always tell you? We're gonna run, and we're gonna gun, and we're gonna be fun for the players, and we're gonna be fun for the fans. You know what's fun for the fans and for the players? Winning.
All right.
So if we can win 51-50, and if I thought this team was built to win 51-50, we would try to win 51-50. I don't think we're built like that. I think the sport. To me, where the sport is still in need of skill. We still need dribblers, passers, shooters, and probably not just shooters. We need makers. We should probably change that word, that we need guys that can make shots. I think the teams that are extraordinary, the Villanovas and the Carolinas and the Gonzagas of the world that are extraordinary, and our league Xavier, that's extraordinary. They score the ball. They do score the ball. And the days of, and no disrespect meant, the days of the John Chaney zone, that's not really where the game is today.
That's what I was talking about. Fewer plays, fewer sets.
Fewer plays and more like knowledge of the game of basketball. And one of the things, though, Jack, is because of the way this is structured, too, one of the ways that this is structured, like, we have a basketball game on November the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we didn't start practice October 15th. We started October 16th. And you take a day off a week, and you have to have some scrimmage action, so whether it's inner squad or an outside scrimmage. You really are, if you number your days of teaching basketball, you're in a position of teaching basketball, not teaching basketball plays. And
so
that's what we're trying to do.
How about playing here, the new arena and everything?
Well,
you guys have been at the big house now. What now?
Well, we were there for a year. I loved it, but it did become a wear and tear. This is really something that I could have never imagined. Even when I saw the drawings and was involved in some of the planning, to see what they've done in the space, and to kind of get a feel for just in your mind's eye. Have an idea what this is going to be like on a Friday night. Or I go back now, Donald, sometimes I'll think, wonder what that game would have been like in this building.
Right.
And you want to get back to those kind of games in this building. I think that the people that went in their pocket for this building and the former players whose back this is built on, We always have to remember where we came from, but certainly we want to embrace what is the future. This isn't even the foreseeable future for St. Joseph's. This is it.
I'm trying to envision you writing number 10. You said you voted St. Joe's 10th. Was it difficult for you?
No, it wasn't difficult because I do study this, and I try to be realistic and say, I mean, to be honest with you, there was a sarcastic chuckle that went with it because
it wasn't literal.
You know, because we've been there. We've been in the top four. We haven't celebrated it. You know, and I can understand it. But when you've been three of the last six finals, mm-hmm. and a number of those years you've been in the national rankings, to now say, holy mackerel, look where we are. But I also take it as a badge of honor for the league, because there are teams that have really scratched their way. Like, I have great admiration for John Giannini and LaSalle. They scratched their way to be a top four preseason team. And the Richmond program was down and out. Duquesne, to think where they came from, to put them ahead of us. It was what I thought at the time, and I'm never going to be, I try not to be a homer in any way, whether I do that for my ballot for the national rankings or my ballot for the Atlantic 10. And I do the same thing when I vote for the old league, whether it be preseason or postseason. I try to do it from a basketball fan in a lot of ways point of view.
I get the sense, though, in the back of your mind, hey, we were in the Final Four the last two or three years. You think you're going to be better than that?
Well, we'll be all right. I've reminded this team several times that this is what they don't know what I think of them, but
they will now.
they know where it laid out. I mean, there's no player on any all league team. There's no player on any all rookie team. There's no player, so you can't be higher than 10th if that's where your players are. We have one player listed in a preseason all league category, and that would be Garrett Defend. And to be honest with you, Jack, I can't even go around and say, listen, I really need your help, because he's the best defensive player in our league. Okay. Because you're not if you come in 10th. I'll give you my quote that I give to business groups. The success of the group assures the success of the individual. It's never the other way around. So that's what's going to happen. If Darren Govins, in his bottom of his heart, wants to be an all-league player, then team better win. Because there are no all-league players who finish 9th, 10th, 11th, so on.
Who will run the team?
I will.
No, I mean when the game starts.
That's an interesting question, right? Because one of the ways that we're trying to play is we're trying to play positionless, and we're trying to really play guards. So Garrett is a guard. Darren Govins is a guard. Carl Jones is a guard. Chris Prescott is a guard. Shiroy is a guard. Justin Cross-Guy, when he comes back, is a guard. We're trying to play a way that doesn't put all the burden. Because one of the things that to answer the questions about Garrett's going to have to score some layups. It's hard to score layups if you're back here catching the ball and trying to advance it every single time. Some of the ways you get layups are you got to get out and run, and you've got to get on the glass. And if he's worried about defensive bounds, so we've really tried to incorporate everybody in initiating offense is the way that I would say it. But who I'm going to talk to on the floor will be Garrett. Like, I will relay my information to them through Garrett.
How's Justin feel? Because I know he was injured.
He hasn't done anything other than he'll be on the side doing some cardio and some core exercise. He went back to the doctor yesterday. They removed all the immobilizers that he had, and they're now just working on his flexibility. So I don't really have a target date in mind. I just know that 6 weeks or 8 weeks, when they told us when he was injured, would fall around the 1st of December. So he still has a couple weeks.
Would he break his wrist?
He tore a ligament in his thumb on a foul. He got fouled in a preseason in a pickup game. Mm-hmm. He got fouled by Todd O'Brien, and tore the ligament from his thumb.
What kind of player is Carl Jones?
If you weren't going to write it, I would tell you he's a special offensive player. But what I will tell you is that he has a way of putting the ball in the basket. Now, when he walks out here and you look at him, you're going to think, how did that ninth grader get on the court with those college kids? But he'll proudly tell you, I think he's benching. He might be doing the bar now. He is very, very crafty. He can score the basketball, and he has a swagger that he knows he can score the ball. So he's got to carry that swagger forward. And what I'm going to be interested in is to see what happens when he does get knocked on his backside. And, you know, that'll probably happen 35 seconds into Friday night. He's going to get knocked down and pick himself up, dust himself off, and go play.
He's listed at 145 pounds.
Well, one day in preseason, when they were doing their strength and conditioning, he was weighed, and I stood there and I looked at it. He was 143. Wow. I think today, he'll lie, but I think today,
is Billy Luke here?
He might be 150 pounds. Might be. But I've taken tape because this is what I knew we had. There is a wave here of these, what I would call little tiny kids in college basketball. Cal has one, and Stanford has one, and I've looked at tape, as have Mark Bass and Jeff Arnold, who work with the perimeter guys. We've looked at tape to say, well, what was he able to do that allowed him to be successful?
Is he a shooter?
He's a scorer. He can score the ball. He can score the ball in a variety of ways. He is a tremendous, tremendous foul shooter, and the line means very little to him. He has very good, as does Kroskow. Kroskow, is he out there? Kroskow has really good range, even though he's basically shooting that ball one-handed.
Yeah. Phil, just to touch on the arena one more time. Anytime that you've had success, it's always like some adjectives used, tiny and small and diminutive and stuff like that. While for the university, yeah, that's how it should and is described. The difference between a small program at a small school and a solid program at a small school, does this kind of marry those two ideas of, you know, those upper echelon schools that are cut from the same cloth, the Creighton, the Xavier?
Well, yeah, I think that's an interesting comparison, the Creightons and the Xaviers and the Gonzagas. It's a, I would say it's a facility. And when I say a facility, it's the office complex, the locker rooms, the meeting rooms, the arena, and the practice facility. It's a facility statement that basketball is very important to the fabric of this university. And I think then the reverse that somebody had asked earlier about, is there a different kind of pressure? Well, now there's a pressure to have a program that matches the facility. Because there are places, even the Atlantic 10, that are nice places, but they're never full, and there's never that juice. If the passion is out of this building, it's not going to be because of, you know, I couldn't find parking or I couldn't get a seat. It's going to be because I let down and I didn't get the right combination of players. So this is right for St. Joseph's. I really do believe that this is the right size. It has the right feel, and it'll never be taken for granted by these players or by the coaches.
When you talk about a school like St. Joe's, small, private, religiously affiliated, things like that, where money isn't used like it is at a state institution, what does it say about the school and its relationship with the basketball program that such a large chunk of money has been committed to this?
Well, way? I think that what they're saying is that truly that St. Joseph's does believe in the whole person. because these guys are not allowed to be here just as basketball players. They're part of this community. And as part of the community, there were sacrifices made. I mean, the offices were inadequate. The locker room was inadequate. But to the players' credit, not this group of players, but all of the players as you go into the past, no one ever, they came because they loved basketball. And they grew to have a fondness for St. Joseph's University. I think that if this group of players, because of this facility, can take forth that love of St. Joseph's University, then this is a win for everybody.
When are you not going to kind of look up when you pull and park in your normal spot? Because I talked to Don about this yesterday. When he still says when he pulls in, he says, "Holy shit!" Like,
well, my thing,
it doesn't look like it should.
Yeah,
you know,
my thing is, I think it'll be Friday night because I had a way of coming into the field house. My friend Fran Dunphy would say that it was superstition, and I would just say it's a ritual. Like, I always knew what door I was coming in, and right. I knew where I was going to go and how I was going to get behind the stands. But the other day, I kind of panicked a little bit and thought about, well, how do I get in? Where am I going to come in? And what's it going to be like to sit upstairs? Because you could sit behind the stands here and feel the energy in the building.
Yeah.
So I don't know when it'll. I don't know when it will wear off, because there have been times, really during practice, where I might be standing at one end or the other, and I'll kind of gaze around. I'll think, "Oh, this has really changed." Or I might see somebody come in to watch practice, and I'll think, "They haven't seen this. I wonder what they really think. I wonder what's their reaction."
Right. Good stuff.